I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Another hour to go. We appreciate you being with us. Coaches are getting fired earlier and earlier. Remember last year, USC made the call early in September. This year, Scott Frost got the Ziggy, and there could be more ahead. Herm Edwards got it yesterday, even though that was widely expected. Matt Brown, who puts out the Extra Points newsletter, is joining us now. And Matt, thank you for saying hello to us. Good afternoon, and let's talk about this. Used to be you had time. You don't have time anymore, and it sounds like a good idea, but you've dug pretty deep into it. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I would agree. Firing somebody in September on the surface might be defensible. I think it would be hard to find a Nebraska fan right now that would say, well, you know, maybe if Scott Frost had a little bit more time, maybe things would be turned around. You understand it. Hey, it's clear this coaching search isn't going to work out. This particular tenure isn't going to work out. You move on. But I think it is very rare. And if you look at both the cases here, the cases last season, the cases a couple of years before that, it's pretty rare that you head into a season where you feel very confident about a coach and then data within 2 or 3 weeks suddenly changes your mind. If there's somebody that you're ready to fire in September, you know, I would argue here that you probably should have fired them at the end of last season. And if you wait, that either becomes more expensive, you have wasted potentially a recruiting class or an opportunity to maintain your roster over several months. And I think more importantly, it creates a reason for fans and reporters and administrators and everybody else to wonder, what is it about the decision-making process that led you to think that this was a good decision 10 months ago and is now a decision that needs to have a gigantic change, one that would require millions and millions of dollars now? You know, it's fun, I think, as fans and even as reporters, for us to sit here and throw names up on the board about here's who school XYZ should be considering. But if you make a bad decision and use a bad process to get there and you have the same athletic director and the same boosters and the same process, I don't think you should feel very, very confident expecting a much better result if you're doing the same thing that got you into this mess in the first place.
Yeah, Matt, and we all want to give these athletic directors a lot of credit, but sometimes they have absolutely nothing to do with it. They're boosters involved, sometimes presidents, and sometimes they're agents who are literally stealing their lunch money, who force them into bad decisions that they can't work their way out of. So let's talk about a couple of these decisions, namely the Brian Harsin situation, which it almost seems to be a fait accompli today that he's going to be gone. He's got a big buyout. He was nearly fired in the offseason. Probably should have never been hired in the first place. That doesn't really matter anymore. So what's Auburn facing right now as they try to make this decision and then see if they can improve on the product?
It's a great question. I feel like Auburn specifically is a situation that's you could spend several books, you know, really, really digging into and explaining why things are the way that they are. And given the process that led to Brian Harsin is exactly what we concerned, I think, if I was a fan about, well, if we just do something different, we just get rid of Harsin tomorrow, surely anything could be better than what we're experiencing right now, right? But, you know, by all indications, it wasn't exactly a unified perfect process that led to this point. And now you don't really know who the athletic director is going to be. It's not entirely certain who's going to be, you know, really controlling all outside parties to make this decision. You know, in my experience, after, you know, really covering the real weeds of coaching searches and how athletic departments and everything else works, I think it's very hard to luck into a good result if you don't have a good process. So before Auburn, I think, can worry about who's going to be their head football coach in 2024, I think you have to really worry about whose opinions and whose voices are going to matter as we try to shape this athletic department so we can reach a unified decision. And then whoever it is that we decide to hire, give them a fighting chance. Because I'm not exactly certain that's what happened here.
Yeah, Matt, and as most of the audience is well aware, the Alan Green hired Harsin. He was just fired.
Yeah.
So they don't have an athletic director. They have an interim, but this guy's trying to get the job. There's not much he's going to say or do other than the usual AD speak. And it seems to me the coaching search is already underway. I'm sure the school can deny that, but I don't know if they can deny that with a straight face.
And the funny thing about this particular situation, and I would argue it's probably true for a few other programs right now that may be making coaching searches, is that even if the school gets up there in front of the camera and says, "Hey, we're committed to so and so, and we're not looking at any other candidates right now," schools have lots of different parties that can have those kind of conversations in a way that it's not immediately subject to FOIA requests from nosy reporters like me, or you have some level of plausible deniability that you're acting in the interest of the school, whether that's a booster, whether that's some another agent or a consulting company or something. So Auburn theoretically could be able to say, just like I think Colorado theoretically could, or Georgia Tech theoretically could, or any of these other programs, to say like, no, you know, we're just focused on the here and now. But that doesn't mean that somebody else somewhere with a wink and a nod couldn't theoretically be having some of those other conversations.
Matt, as someone who has dug really deep into this, and it's necessary because these are sometimes disastrous situations to watch once you get into the process. What do you take away from the mistakes that schools consistently and continually make?
I feel like one of the biggest misconceptions I had before I started this newsletter and got on this beat and really got in the weeds was that I thought that a university trying to hire an athletic director was a pure meritocratic process, right? Where you're just going in there dispassionately to who's going to win the most football games or who's the best structural fit for our university. And friends, I wish I could say that was the case, but that's not true. And it's not true at Auburn. It's not true at Ohio State. It's not true for low majors because it's an extremely political process. It's one where agents wield and search firms wield very significant power, especially if one of those firms helps place the athletic director or represents other people in that room. It can be very political depending on who regents are, depending on who's giving money. And when I look at some of the programs, and I know I imagine you could probably think of a couple of them, and I'm sure your callers can probably think of a couple of them too. We can think of a handful of places that have every financial resource to be successful. But if they don't have a system where their boosters and their political operations and their state house and everybody is moving in the same direction, if you have three or four different camps going in different ways, you can have a $175 million budget and all kinds of history, and you're going to find yourself going through this process every 5, 6, 7 years. When I think part of the real genius of Nick Saban in Alabama, and something that's been so hard to replicate elsewhere, is how well he's been able to unify all of those factions. And that's very difficult to do. But if we were to sit here and think of, hey, who are the schools that are seemingly always paying $20 million in buyout to somebody? I think that you'll find that many of their problems are similar problems.
Matt Brown, fascinating subject with the Extra Points newsletter. Many, many thanks. We'll continue this conversation because there will be more to deal with in the coming days. Thank you, Matt. We'll take a break. A lot to do the remainder of the show. More of your phone calls right around the corner.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
TOL coming up at 7 p.m. And we talk to Richard and Spencer right now, as we always do on Monday afternoon. Guys, thanks for joining us. Give us your read on the desperation of Auburn right now, trying to figure out what to do with Brian Harsin.
Well, first of all, they have to solve the problems on the field, which involve deciding what the quarterback does, who gets carries, and what kind of a team they are, and what their identity is. Because they got to get through this before they can get to that. Because the considerations off the field at Auburn, to me, are so massive that, you, like, as a coach, no matter what your situation happens to be, that worrying about them seems foolhardy to me, right? You have to solve everything you're dealing with on the field. What to do with Brian Harsin? Man, I don't know. The mess there seems so big. Like, losing by 29 to Penn State at home this year feels like such a mess that you can't see over it to what's next.
Well, I think you can say that some of the decision makers at Auburn or around Auburn tried to solve an on-the-field problem and then created an off-the-field problem over the summer. Now, that did not happen in a vacuum. A lot of what happens at Auburn on the field, off the field, is this, like, snowballed effect of, you know, 30 to 40 years of dysfunction. Auburn has always won, though, despite all that dysfunction. Whatever scandal, NCAA, Jetgate, Cam Newton, whatever you want to say, they've won. Now they're not winning.
Yeah.
And that's the big problem.
Yeah, and one more thing, Paul. I'm the last person in the world who wants to be fair, especially to people in power. Like, that's just not in my bones, naturally. But, like, honestly, there are so many things happening behind the scenes there or around it that, to me, when you talk about Harsin or you talk about any coach in that position, it's only part of the issues that you're going to face, much less when you start looking at the neighbors to your north and the neighbors to your east, which are UGA and Alabama, arguably two of the best three or four teams in the nation.
But considering what we saw Saturday and, whatever happens from here, it might get better on a week-to-week basis, but that was like a heart attack that's not going to be fixed quickly. Who would be a logical replacement, considering some of the names floating around are, you know, reclamation projects on one hand and bizarre choices on the other? What do you think?
I think that, look, it's one of 14 in this league.
Yeah.
It's always going to be a tractor beam, and it's always going to attract hot names. But I think especially if you're an up-and-coming coach considering this job, you got to look at what's going on as far as leadership.
Yeah.
And you
got
to look at what's not going on as far as alignment is concerned and what hasn't been going on over the last few years. And the hands in the cookie jar and the hands in the pot that you were going to have to deal with. This job was turned down by up-and-coming coaches a few years ago after Gus Malzahn was fired, deposed, or whatever you want to call it, because of the dysfunction inherent. Have they fixed it? Has it gotten worse? That's going to be up to whatever coach is interviewed if Brian Harsin is fired in the next few months.
If you're dealing with two things here, you're dealing with politics on one side and you're dealing with capabilities on the other. Capabilities, I have seen coaches already do things this year with great players who flew under the radar at places where I did not think success was possible. Right now, Tulane is 3-0. Right now, Oregon State is killing it. Vanderbilt is 3-1. Paul, are you prepared to talk with your family and loved ones about an undefeated Kansas Jayhawks? Because all Lance Leopold does is resurrect the dead. So I'm not saying that Auburn is unfixable. There are plenty of people who can do that. But another thing that they have to consider is what they are walking into when they take the Auburn job. The person who is at Auburn
guys,
has to want it.
Yeah, but guys, hold on a second. The people we're talking about, Hugh Freeze, Lane Kiffin, those guys are not really dealing with the same issues that Lance Leopold is dealing with.
Well, Paul, the most interesting thing about this Auburn job is, and I don't have to tell you this, Alabama was right here circa 2006.
Right.
We were having the same discussion about the Crimson Tide program, and then one singular force of nature got the job and everything changed. So what I'm saying, Auburn, is make a call to Tuscaloosa. See if he's available.
You never know. Man might be bored.
All he can say is no.
Yeah.
More of this entertainment coming up right after us at 7 p.m. Guys, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Let's get back to the calls here at 855-242-7285. Jeff is up next in Ohio. Hello, Jeff.
What's going on, Paul?
Jeff, great to hear from you.
Man, you had me scrambling on the telephones. I was listening to the show for a minute, and I heard you say something about lumber prices going through the roof earlier.
Yeah, I got that from you.
Okay. I had to make some calls to make sure I wasn't missing some opportunities, Paul, when you said that. Hey, speaking of calls, have you heard from JK today?
We have not.
I mean, the Miami fan JK, who said Miami was going to make the playoffs, didn't he?
He sure did. And he was wrong as usual.
Yeah, he likes to run his mouth about other fan bases, but looks to me like he's going to be a no-show, doesn't it?
Well, he's beyond a no-show.
Yeah. Hey, Paul, you guys are sitting down there talking about Auburn and how bad their situation is. Why can't you guys just admit a Big Ten team rolled down into SEC country and pounded them in the turf? Why don't you give the Big Ten some credit?
Well, as soon as I get through Northwestern and a couple of other Big Ten moments over the weekend, I will.
Syracuse, if it was in Purdue. Reverse, you guys would be, everybody be running their mouth how weak the Big Ten is.
Well, unfortunately for Auburn, they didn't play Syracuse, Purdue, or Northwestern. They got Penn State.
Well, I mean, why not give the other – why don't you give a team some credit when they roll down into hostile, it just means more country, and – beat them into the ground. I mean,
Jeff,
they just physically dominated
Auburn.
The
answer to your question is nobody cares what you think about it, what I think about the Big Ten. It's not a germane subject at the moment. Anything else?
Well, I thought you told us this is a college football show.
I guess I could have mentioned Michigan State, too.
Well, sure. Go ahead. I mean, you could mention Ohio State if you want.
Yeah, what about the Buckeyes' big win over Toledo High School?
Ooh. Yeah, just kind of similar to how Alabama
played
somebody.
All the criticism you have for Nick Saban on that late November weekend playing the cupcake, and I was subjected to your team playing Toledo in prime time on a major network.
Yeah, with your boy Brando in town.
Oh, he did the game? I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah. Timmy B and Spencer Tillman.
Oh, wow.
What?
I said, wow.
Why are you so down on Brando now, Paul?
I'm not down on anybody. I'm just saying I had the sound down. I wasn't paying. I had two TVs on.
It's true. You don't show any. You've lost all respect for a lot of people that have backed you up for years, Paul. Maybe it sounds like.
Hey, Jeff,
Jim's
I got bad news for you. I'm not running for Congress. I host a talk show. Okay, so you know, I'm
yeah,
friends with a lot of people, and I'm not turning on anybody.
You've shown your respect for years.
My respect for these guys have not changed.
I mean, you've been insinuating a lot with Timmy B. I'm just wondering what the problem is.
I have nothing more to add on that subject.
Okay. But I mean, when a team comes down into the footprint of the SEC,
Jeff, you've already said that. We get it. Penn State's a good team. I also pointed out the five or six Big Ten teams that were laid major eggs. So your point's great.
Okay.
We'll have Kevin Ward
sure.
on to talk
just,
about
I
the
just,
Big Ten
I
weekend. I'm sure he would be thrilled.
Day. Okay. All right. Why does why I
hey,
just
by the way,
just
by the way, one more thing, Jeff. Can't wait for UCLA to join the Big Ten so they can bring their average of 4,000 fans a day. They had to come from behind to beat South Alabama. Can't wait for that.
Hey, that's fine as long as they bring us a help bringing in $1 billion in TV revenue, Paul.
Well, they did that.
They can have zero fans as far as I'm concerned.
USC played a bigger role, probably about 95% on that deal.
Well, sure. I didn't say they didn't, but, you know, you're the one that brought it up.
Well, I was just responding to your Big Ten infomercial. Jeff, it's 6:23. Call the Big Ten Network show. I'm sure they're still on. Legend is up next.
Go Black Hat on that chump, man. Go Black Hat on that chump. So I think somebody didn't love Jim and Jeff when they were kids or something. They always wanting you to, what are you supposed to send Brando and Daddy Shannon some flowers? They grown-ass men. They don't need time bombs calling them every day, telling them how great they are. Somebody didn't love these morons, Paul, when they were little or something, telling you, you a grown-ass man, and you got another so-called grown-ass man telling you you don't show enough love to people. What kind of bull crap is that right there? Somebody dropped them idiots on their head when they was born or something, Paul. Oh, my God. You know, I was just sitting here listening to Pink Floyd. It reminds me of both of them morons. The loon. The ticks are on the grass. And it's a damn Alabama Kush, too. Somebody love them. Somebody love J&J. Hey, Paul, I'll give you my top thoughts on the week 3 of college football right quick, sir. Well,
we all want to hear it. Go right ahead.
My first one is every now and then I reach out to the needy and the unfortunate. So I'm going to reach out to my ugly little pimple-faced little brother, Auburn, and tell them what they need to do. This is what you need to do today. You need to get Bobby Lauder, yellow wood, pink wood, green wood, whatever hell kind of woods you got down there, and catch your ass to Jackson State and beg Coach Prime to be your next head football coach.
Boy.
Take whatever amount of money. Yeah, take every amount of money. First of all, he's with Nick Saban on the Aflac commercial, so automatically he can put an Auburn hat on and it becomes an instant sensation right there. Plus, you would get a real quarterback because Primetime Son is a future NFL player. He's getting better all the time. Plus, you would get a five-star defensive back, and Travis probably transferred right away. So your offense and defense immediately gets better, and you get a coach that would have you in the top five in recruiting every damn year, and you could stop being so damn pathetic, little brother, because you're really pathetic now, little brother. And I'm trying to reach out and help you because every now and then, Pastor, so when my mama died, I promised her I'd reach out to the misfortunate like Jim and Jeff and the Auburn Tigers and help out every now and then. So go your ass, get yellow wood. I know he got a private plane probably built with yellow wood inside the cabin, and fly his fat ass to Jackson State and leave the hamburger alone and go get Coach Prime. Now, the next thing I'd like to say, Paul, USC stand for real, brother. Don't
they
you agree?
I agree. I underestimated them.
Hell yeah, I watched that game Saturday night because everybody said Fresno State was going to give them a game because, of course, the Godfather Danny Shannon said don't listen to everybody, legend, and he was right. You know, when you look at that team with Jordan Addison and Caleb Williams, that Travis kid running the ball, man, that's a real freaking team, man. I mean, they're going to make the playoffs right there. The only team I see might challenge them is Washington because they got that left-handed kid throwing from Indiana that played at Indiana last year, and that dude is flat-out butter, baby. Hey, Paul, my next thought is, you know, Georgia's played the damn easiest friggin' schedule in the country. You couldn't play a more pathetic damn schedule if you had Alabama's schedule. It's 2 times more pathetic than our schedule. If y'all want to crown them, crown them, because we know who they are. They're an elf on a shelf. That's all they are. They ain't played nobody. And you all around talking about they the new Alabama. Oh, I like the lost it. I had to remind myself you was my underboss in the Black Hat Posse, baby. I had to remind myself that I love you too much, brother. I had to remember myself. That ain't the new Alabama. Don't you ever let that come out of your mouth again, brother. That ain't the new Alabama right there. It's still an elf on a shelf. They ain't played nobody. Hell, who they play this week? Nobody. Wait till they play somebody before you want to crown them.
Hey, legend, hold on a second. I appreciate it. I didn't say it anywhere important. I just said it on ESPN, so don't be jumping on me, okay?
No, I'm not jumping on you, brother.
I haven't looked at the schedule. Who do you guys have this weekend?
It don't matter. I'm talking about the elf on the shelf. I know our schedule's easy. I know it's easy. But hell, Texas, they ain't played nobody. Texas beat the hell out of Oregon. So we have Texas got a legitimate team with Robinson and DeMarvin Overshown and Xavier Worthy. I mean, they got NFL players, man. Oregon's got Bo Nix. Come on, man. He ain't going to make it in the Arena Football League, much more than the NFL. Another thought is, Pete Golden, you listen to me. I watched the Alabama game. We blitzed 22 times on Saturday. Woo! You finally got them ears unclogged. Skip must have slapped you around when you got home. Must have slapped them ears clean and said, you better listen to the legend. 22 blitzes. I was impressed, Pete Golden. Keep it up. Keep listening. You might actually learn something. I don't know. And my last thought is, Paul, before I get off, woo! How about Tua, baby? Everybody said he wasn't an NFL quarterback. Everybody said he was a fraud. I said he was injured. Just give him time. And yesterday, he showed you, baby. He showed you why at the University of Alabama we make millionaires, baby. He's got that gum tie. He and Jalen Waddle. Man, Miami ain't had a combination like that since the Marks Butter with Duper and Clayton, man. I'm proud of you, to you. You brought it, baby. You brought it. Get paid. Woo! Elvis has left the building.
And we are back right after this.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Out of Pocket coming up on Wednesday. Ricky is up next in Mississippi. Hey, Ricky.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
We're doing great.
Me not so much.
Yeah, that was a tough one Saturday.
Yeah, but I mean, I just don't get too high and too low with State. That guy that you talked to a while ago, was that from Extra Point? Hey, do you think they can send us a kicker to help us out?
things were going so well too. I thought Mississippi State had that huge win last week, and then it just seemed like it all came crashing down.
Just can't trust him, man. But I still pull for him, But I mean, they had so many missed opportunities through the years of getting over the hump, but they never do. But you remember that game back in 2017 when we thought they were gonna have a chance to beat Bama.
Oh yeah!
They lost that.
When was it? Todd Grantham decided to go blitz crazy against.
Jalen Hurts and.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts. He got burned to death.
Devontae Smith was born.
Right. Exactly.
yeah, Yeah, but I mean, you know, but we'll see how they pick up. But I just got something about that team. I can't put my finger on it. But how long do you think that state is going to give? Leach, I know he's not in trouble this year.
Yeah, Ricky, I think it just depends. I mean, to me, the final record matters, but you and I both know the Ole Miss game matters more. So
yeah.
I think, is he 0-2 against Ole Miss right now?
Right, yeah.
And you go 0-3 to your rival. You can't afford to lose that game every year.
Right. But Spencer said something a couple weeks ago, and I just wanted to make reference to that. He made, a comment about Cheaper the Keeper. He said it was by Ray Charles, but I think that's by Johnny Taylor, if I'm not mistaken, though.
And, you're the musician. I'm not gonna challenge you on that.
Yeah, he was an old Stax guy back in the 70s when Stax was booming.
Oh, yeah, I remember
and,
Stax.
He did that song, Cheaper the Keeper. Yeah, that was it's a nice, cool song, you know. But anyway, that's why I just wanted to bring that up.
Cheaper the Keeper, I've never heard that one.
Yeah, Cheaper the Keeper, yeah. Johnny Taylor, yeah, you check it out.
Anything like Heidi Ho?
the Cab Calloway?
Yeah, I mean, I heard that. I was driving to the Atlanta airport the other day, and I heard that, and I hadn't heard that song, and I don't think maybe.
Oh,
in my,
man.
Yeah,
I hadn't
that
heard
was,
that.
I mean, I got stuck on that song the whole day.
Yeah, it kind of get to you like that.
Man, have you ever done that one, Randy? Heidi Ho by Cab Calloway?
Yeah.
Oh, that's like a 30s song, isn't it?
Yeah. That's way back in the day.
Go listen to it. It took me a few minutes to figure out what it was, and once I figured it out, I started.
Yeah. But now, Legend, he's going to lead my alma mater alone. Now, Coach Prime is doing all right. Let him stay where he at. You don't need to go down there. If you wanted to be in a dysfunctional a place to go, he could have went back to his own alma mater.
Hey, Ricky, can you imagine Deion Sanders walking in the first first meeting at Yellowwood with Jimmy Rain?
I can hear him now. It's about to go down, baby.
Well, the good news for Prime is that Aflac's is I think in Columbus, Georgia, so he's not far from it. If he goes to Auburn, he can drive over there and do the commercials.
Yeah, but I'm glad him and Saban, you know, didn't that little kerfuffle early in the year.
Well, Prime decided, you know what, it's not worth taking on the king.
Well, you know, I can hear him now. Well, don't make dollars, don't make sense.
I know you were a musician. Did you ever do any singing?
Well, I do a little background. That's about it, Paul.
You got the chops for it.
Well, I just do a little background. I'm not a lead singer though, but I just do a little harmonizing and stuff like that.
What was the instrument you used to play?
Well, I was a drummer.
Drummer, okay.
Yeah. I was a drummer. You know, so but we had a lot of good times with Lattimore. We got to meet a lot of people that I grew up listening to, you know.
Who was your favorite encounter, Ricky?
I would say, Giant Taylor was one.
Johnny.
And Clarence Carter was another one.
That's not a bad one.
Because he was my blind brother, and so I was really excited to play behind him one time and down on the coast. It was a privilege to play Patches.
Oh, I bet, man.
Love the song.
Woo! We're talking serious music now.
I was just beside myself, man. I'm playing behind a legend, and it was Alabama guy. He's from Montgomery, I believe.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Clarence Carter's from Montgomery.
Montgomery's produced a few musicians over the history.
A few in Mobile. They got a few athletes down that way.
Yeah, but no town has ever produced more baseball players than Mobile, Alabama.
Really? Yeah, but man, I tell you, I'm But I just want to give a shout out to Prime about Jackson State. They're doing well.
We're overdue to talk to Prime. We'll catch up. We had a great conversation with him a year or two ago. Hey, you take care of yourself, Ricky. Cat Daddy is up next.
Patches, I'm depending on you, son.
Oh, man.
Bring back the truth. It's all left up to you. Man, I want to hang out with that Ricky, Paul.
Yeah, Daddy, I could see you back in the old jazz era doing some vocals.
Oh, man, I'm going to tell you what. You was talking about Stax Records. You know, my in-laws is all from Memphis.
Right.
I was thinking about Rufus Thomas walking
Rufus.
The dog.
Rufus, didn't he do the Funky Chicken?
Yes, sir, he sure did, the Funky Chicken. That was his big one. He was a wonderful man. I met him years ago.
And, I think I
probably told you this, but one time I was riding with my father-in-law, introduced me to Rufus. And we were riding, and he had a white Mercedes with a sunroof. You know when sunroofs first came out?
Oh, sure.
He had one of the first, and we were riding down Union Avenue, and Rufus
Union.
Turned around and heard something about the white and black people thing. And Rufus goes, you know what? It takes both the white keys and the black keys to play the Star Spangled Banner.
That's great. That is
and
great.
And I never forgot that. Never forgot that. But anyway, congratulations to the Georgia Bulldogs. My Gamecocks, they'll get their stuff together. But you students, y'all used to leave at the fourth quarter. This time you left at the third quarter. Cut that out.
Yeah, you know what? I disagree with you, Cat Daddy. I would have left after the second quarter if I'd been a student at South Carolina. We're up against the break. What an embarrassing performance. We are back. A few minutes remaining right after this.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. John is up next in Florida. Hello, John. Good afternoon.
Paul, I always appreciate you taking my call, and
Thank you. You've
been handing out the whopping stick today. Might as well call you Professor Paul.
I mean, well, you know, I've always wanted to be called that, so I will take that very well.
I can bequeath that upon you.
Thank you.
So, my dad, being a former Auburn quarterback, we were watching the show earlier today. And the subject came up about Lane Kiffin going to Auburn. I don't know how that got started or whatever. But his immediate response was, well, we did that before with Tommy Tupperville. We went to Ole Miss and got him and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But he went.
I mean, by the way, the Tupp thing wasn't a disaster. I mean, he had some pretty good years. He beat Alabama six straight years. Your dad knows that.
Yeah, and But you know what surprised me then, Paul? My dad even went lower than that. And you know what he said?
No.
He said he wanted Auburn to go get Bobby Petrino. What's your opinion?
Oh, my
on
goodness.
That?
Bobby Petrino had the job in 2003. He made a run at it again later. I don't know. I don't know if – I really don't even – I don't think Bobby Petrino can pass the sleaze test.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a big risk from the moral side. But, you know, when you're so hurt.
You know what, I would, John, I don't think you can hire somebody like Bobby Petrino. You need to find a wholesome, clean-cut guy like Hugh Freeze.
Hey, Hugh Freeze actually would probably be another option for Auburn fans, as much as they're hurting right now. But, Paul, before I go, I heard that game day is coming to Knoxville.
Correct.
And I know that Neyland Stadium is going to be checkerboard. Do you know where SEC Nation will be this weekend?
I do. We will be in Arlington, Texas for the A&M Arkansas game.
Okay. All right. So, all right. Well, I just want to double check on that. Thanks for having me on your show.
Thank you very much, John. Always good to hear from you. Thanks a lot. Kevo is up next in Alabama. Hello, Kevo.
Hey, Paul. I got to give legend credit for keeping it clean today, keeping his inner Hugh Hefner off the air. His call was informative, funny.
It was.
Not a big fan. But yeah, it was a good call. Second, Brian Harsin is like Clint Eastwood in Good, Bad, and Ugly. He's a good guy in a bad, ugly situation.
True.
Third, Coach Kublik, your new head coach.
Hold on a second. You know what?
Cole Kublik.
Cole Kublik would be an excellent head coach for Auburn.
Well, bring in Daniel Gray to OC.
I'm going to endorse that with you. So, can you imagine? I mean, Cole's got the TV experience. He could handle the press conference as well.
O-line. Have Damien Craig be your OC, Paul, and have Kikio Spike be your DC, and Charles Barkley your AD. How's that, Paul?
I really think you are the first person to suggest Cole Kublik for the next Auburn head coach.
And never hire anybody but an Auburn former player on a coach's staff. You keep everybody Auburn.
I agree.
And the Auburn Mafia.
All Auburn.
Auburn Mafia will be. Yeah. I mean, you can't. I don't care if you're Vince Lombardi reincarnated.
No, my question is this. If Cole gets the job, can he continue to do his talk show and his Saturday night job?
I think so.
Yeah.
I wouldn't consider that. That's not double dipping, Paul.
No.
No.
I don't even think it's a – I mean, the only time it's a conflict if he's got a game, but he can coach his game at noon and fly to the game that night. I think it'd be a good recruiting tool for Cole.
Give Cole a phone call. Heck, if McElroy, I know he's a Bama guy, but he could be a good OC if Damien doesn't want the job.
Nah, you don't want McElroy as your OC.
He'll be talking about his Rhodes Scholar background all the time.
McElroy's way too smart to be a football coach.
That's right.
These are using big words in the on the headset, and the quarterback wouldn't really like. What are you talking about, man?
And talk about his dad being the Dallas Cowboy PR guy.
That is true. Hey, yeah, okay. Breaking news: Cole Kublik will be the next Auburn football coach. You like that?
I like it.
I think it's cool. That's the best idea I've heard all night. Anyway, we're out of time. It took 4 hours to come up with a good idea on this show. We'll do this again tomorrow. We hope you have a good night.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.